Richard Herring!
Thank you. Good afternoon and welcome to yet another instalment of Twitutin. I despise you. But we do love receiving your letters, drawings and death threats here at the show. This week I got an email from Timothy Masterson from Scotland who asked, how do you come up with the sketches for That Was Then, This Is Now? To be honest, it sounds like you're just making them up as you go along. Well, it's nice to know it at least sounds so effortless, but believe me, young Timothy, it takes a heck of a lot of work. Me and the team generally leave the writing of the show until the night before the recording, just in case any new historical events are discovered at the last moment. Then we trawl the internet for stories that happened this week in history, which we compile on what we in the radio biz call a piece of paper. Like this piece of paper here. The first item of the stuff we found this week is 17th of September 1577, Peace of Bergerac, signed between Henry III of France and the Huguenots. Now, me and the team will sit around struggling to think of a humorous angle on the Peace of Bergerac. Surely there's nothing there. You'd have to be a genius to think of anything for that. So, luckily, though, we are all genii. And eventually one of us, usually Danny...
Hi.
..will say...
Hold on. Bergerac. I think there used to be a TV show called Bergerac.
Right.
What if we somehow link this historical event to the TV series Bergerac?
And I'll say, how do you mean, Danny? I don't understand how that would work. And then Danny will say... And then go quiet for a bit. Then more time will pass and someone else, maybe Dan...
Hello.
..will say...
Well, maybe Henry III is a big fan of Bergerac, but the Huguenots hate it, preferring the adventures of Shoestring. And then, oh, I don't know, they have a war or something.
And I'm like, hey, hey, Buster, slow down. This is comedy dynamite. Let me write this down. Then somebody, maybe TV's Emma Kennedy...
Hello.
..will say...
I said that about half an hour ago and you just ignored me and said it was rubbish.
And I'll say, shut up, you're just the girl one. What do you know? Then I'll ring Christian.
That's me.
And say, can you and the guys work up the Bergerac theme tune? And he'll say...
Well, we are highly trained musicians, but if that's how you want to employ us, it's your dollar.
And then I'll say, brilliant, we've got a show. See you in the studio tomorrow and we'll try and make something up based on that. This process can take upwards of 45 minutes. Which is still 5,000 times the preparation put into jamming by Roland Rivron. I hope that answers your question, Timothy. Is that 27 minutes yet?
No.
You're kidding. Well, in that case, I'd better introduce the show's cool pop band. It's Christian Riley and Bismarck. Don't stop it, guys. Shut up. We don't need the Bergerac theme tune, really. That was just for the skill. We're not doing that sketch. It was a joke.
Well, it took us ages to work that one up.
It was a joke, Christian. That was just a bit of fabricated self-mockery. We actually put a lot of work into this show. Most of it in coming up for alternatives for swear words that the evil Radio 2 censors insist on us taking out, the uptight melon farmers.
Right, so you actually work very hard. Yes, I don't know how I could have possibly thought otherwise.
None of the stuff in that sketch was true. It was all make-believe. You don't really believe there was a piece of Bergerac, did you? God, you
it idiot. Rang a bell.
What, you thought there was a Henry III of France? Are you nuts?
Well, I thought I heard something about him. Didn't he reign from 1551 to 1559?
Oh, come on, you idiot. Henry III of France. How likely is that? It's like something dreamt up by the writers of Titty Bang Bang. You'll be telling me next you thought the Huguenots were real.
Well, you know, it sounds plausible.
The Huguenots? Come on, it's a nonsensical word I invented. Listen to it. Huguenots. It sounds like huge nose. That's why that's a funny joke.
Yes, I see now. It's very funny.
Thank you. Honestly, Christian, you are as gullible as A.N. Wilson. That was very nearly topical. Is that 27 minutes now?
No.
Gone!
That was then, this is now. Still 24 minutes of gaping void to fill with it, need to put the stribble.
All right, no need to be rude. It was on September the 19th, 1900, that Robert Leroy Parker and Harry Alonzo Longabout committed their first robbery together. Who were they? Well, you probably know them better as Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid from the film Butch and Sundance, The Early Years. But how did they come up with their colourful nicknames? Here's what really happened.
That was then, this is now.
What really happened?
So, before we go out and do our first robbery, we need some nicky names. So, first you, Harry Alonzo Longabow. Not a great name for an outlaw. We're going to call you the Sundance Kid.
Sorry?
The Sundance Kid. That's like your nicky name.
I'm the Sundance Kid? I'm a desperate homicidal criminal. You've given me a name that makes me sound like a child who prances around in the sunshine, or worse, someone who dances with someone's son, which is looked down upon even in the Wild West. Just call me Harry or Mr. Longabow. Either of those will be fine.
Oh, don't be like that. It took me ages to think of the Sundance Kid.
It's just a bit fruity, you know, for a tough guy like me.
Oh, shut up. You are the Sundance Kid.
Can't I at least be the Sundance grown-up man?
No. Don't be soft. You are the Sundance Kid. Now, to my nicky name. Now, as you know, my real name is Robert Leroy Parker, but that won't strike fear into anyone's heart. So I'm going to call myself Butch Cassidy.
Butch Cassidy?
Yeah, I mean, how much more manly could a name be? I am Butch. Butch, I tell you.
Aren't you concerned about the slightly puffy overtones of the word Butch?
It's hardly puffy.
Well, don't think people will laugh at us. You know, ooh, here comes Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. You're not worried people will think we're some kind of couple?
No, not at all. They are brilliant names. Now, to the name of the gang. Yeah, I think we should call ourselves, wait for it, the Wild Bunch. Ta-da!
The Wild Bunch?
Yeah, because we're wild. Ooh, we're wild. Ooh, baby, wild.
Yeah, when you say it like that, it does sound better, yeah. Isn't there a more manly word than wild?
No, I like it. Plus, it's a little tribute to my favourite playwright and wit, Oscar Wilde. There's only one thing in the world worse than being talked about, and that's not being talked about. Ooh, she slays me.
You know he's a homosexual, right, Oscar Wilde?
Do you have some issue here?
Look, we can say we're wild, but do we have to be a bunch? You know, it's like bananas or... It's not very intimidating, is it? At least the Wild Gang, or the Wild Desperados, or the Wild Really, Really Scary and Heterosexual Men.
Look, all right, if you don't like that, how about the Hole in the Wall Gang?
Hole in the Wall, are you serious? You know what goes on in the toilets these guys hang around in, don't you? You must know what a hole in the wall alludes to. Why not just go the whole hog? Why not call ourselves the Bum Bandits? What about...
Oh, yeah, no. That is a good idea, actually, because it works on two levels. We're bandits who are bums, but...
Look, you don't think a bunch of wild men living in the mountains together with no women, led by a couple called Butch and Sundance, who would jump off a cliff for each other if the moment arose, and who have an interest in holes in the wall, might be seen as being just a little bit gay?
But we are gay, Sundance. That's what brought us together, our love of blowing up trains and sodomy.
I know, Butch, but we don't have to advertise it quite so much, do we? I just don't think the world is ready to accept the idea of two cowboys who go off into the mountains to make bareback, brokeback love. I just don't think...
Well, maybe not yet, Sundance, but who knows? One day!
Until then, though, it's our secret, OK?
Of course.
All right, let's shake on it the old Wild West way. Ooh, actually seems a shame to waste that. The 19th of September 1928 was a cinematic landmark. Mickey Mouse made his screen debut in Steamboat Willie. We're lucky enough to have with us a man who remembers the first showing of Mickey Mouse in this country. Please welcome Eric Woodbine.
Hello, hello, hello there. Hey, hello there, Mr. Herring. Hello, pleasure to be here.
So, Eric, what can you remember about that first Mickey Mouse cartoon?
Things were hard in them days. It was during the Depression, so when that cheery little mouse come on screen doing his little dance, bobbing up and down at the wheel of that ship, no one in the cinema could believe what they were seeing. I turned to my dad and I said, bloody hell, is this supposed to be funny? And he turned to me and he said, I think that's what Walt Disney was hoping, but he's sadly mistaken. I've had more entertaining hernias. Jesus. Oh, it were rubbish. It were an insult to everyone's intelligence. People were getting furious. They were throwing stuff at the screen. You know, they were shouting out for something else to happen, you know. But no, just a mouse at the wheel of a steamboat, bobbing up and down, looking pleased with himself, hour after hour. It made me angry just to think about it. Still, you know, what about a plot? What about some sort of character development? But what about a cat arriving and ripping him to pieces, you know? What about some ladies arriving, lezzing up on the deck? No, 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 just that stupid, rubbishly drawn, smug rodent bobbing along like a twassock. Even tiny children found it brain-achingly dull.
Well, it's an interesting insight there. Mickey Mouse, always been tedious.
Charlie Chaplin, too. He's about as funny as all of Bo Selecta put together. Everyone hated him.
Yeah, thanks, Harry. Thanks for coming in.
Oh, by God, the old days were crap. I just thank God I lived long enough to see Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Oh, no, man. That's entertaining.
Shut up. Nobody is interested in you and your nostalgia of 1990s TV shows. It's time for a song.
Oh, God, our music were awful as well. Gracie Fields! Did anyone enjoy that cack?
It's Christian Riley and Bismarck.
Shut up! On September the 19th, 1970, the Velvet Underground released their seminal album Loaded, and this is our tribute to this very influential band.
I can't stop writing songs about heroin. I try and I try, but I can't, because when the royalties come flooding in to my bank account, and then I wanna write them again and again, and all of the lyrics rushing in my brain makes me feel like I'm a man. I try to stop, but I can't. I try to stop writing songs about heroin. I'm waiting for my man at the store to sell me a pad and a pen. I got $2.50 in my hand. The queue at the checkout never seems to end, so I just start writing there and then, but the ink won't come out of my pen. I have to do that little scribbly thing, and then the ink shoots at the tip. I just can't get enough of it. I can't stop. I once wrote a song about eating fresh fruit and getting a good night's sleep. But it was boring. I couldn't wait to jack my guitar in and start writing about heroin. Again and again and again, I try to stop, but I can't. Oh, I try to stop. Writer's cramp will be the death of me, and paper cuts from my rhyming dictionary. I'm writing songs about heroin. I can't stop writing songs about heroin till I wind up dead. I'll try to write about methadone instead.
Christian Riley and Bismarck. Now it's time to welcome TV's Emma Kennedy.
Hello, Rich. Lovely to be here.
The pleasure is all yours. So, we're still struggling to find the format which will best display your talents.
Yes.
What are you doing this week?
Well, on the 21st September 1996, the ill-starred couple JFK Jr. and Caroline Bessette were married just a week after the anniversary of the ill-starred marriage of JFK Jr.'s parents, JFK Sr. and Jacqueline Bouvier. And the tragedies that unfolded within years of both these marriages got me a-thinking. Is there a curse attached to my Kennedy family name? So welcome to a new segment I like to call TV's Emma Kennedy's Curse of the Kennedys.
Curse of the Kennedys.
Hello, I'm TV's Emma Kennedy, and I'm the scared possessor of the most cursed name on earth, Kennedy. Brr, creepy. Not one person called Kennedy has escaped thee.
Curse of the Kennedys.
John F. Kennedy, cursed to be shot in the head after being cursed to a life of privilege where he got to sleep with Marilyn Monroe. Robert Kennedy, cursed to be killed by the assassin with the most stupid name ever, Sirhan Sirhan, and cursed to live a life of privilege where he got to sleep with Marilyn Monroe. Charles Kennedy, cursed to find out that spending 15 years pissed could still not blot out the realization that he was leader of the Liberal Democrats. Nigel Kennedy, cursed to have to live his life being Nigel Kennedy. Dr. Carl and Susan Kennedy off of Neighbours, cursed to be tragically divorced, even though they obviously still love each other. No Kennedy is safe from the
curse of the Kennedys.
Yeah, that's good, Emma. Good format. There's only one problem with that format that I can really see, to be honest.
Can't really see any problem.
Your real name is Emma Williams. Emma Kennedy is just your stage name that you were forced to adopt because there was already an Emma Williams in Equity.
It's Graham Garden's
wife. I believe.
Yeah, but the point is, I'm still part of the Kennedy clan.
That, Emma, unfortunately, is in no way true, is it? Just calling yourself something doesn't make you something. I call myself King Dong the Second, but that doesn't make it true, does it?
No, it's not true.
It happens to be true, but just calling myself
it's really not true.
You're just cashing in on the deaths and misfortunes of others to make yourself somehow look important.
What, and you're not?
No, I'm not. If only there was some good way to describe you, an adjective that just perfectly summed you up, just in one... Well, I wonder what it could be. Oh, no, I think I've got it, actually. Mawkish!
I am not mawkish!
You are so mawkish. You are so mawkish, you are Mork Antony. You're Mork the Slayer. Hawk this way. If you were a philosophical Roman emperor, do you know who you would be?
No.
Marcus Aurelius. Marcus Aurelius.
That's probably the worst one you've ever done.
Yeah, I pushed it one Mork too far. Mork. It's difficult to keep thinking of Mork-based puns, though. Mork,
look, I don't care. I don't care, Richard, because my TV's Emma Kennedy's Curse of the Kennedys is, I feel, my best segment ever.
Yeah, but only in the same way that dysentery is better than the Ebola virus. Though, even though you are a pretend Kennedy, the curse has still affected you, hasn't it, Emma? Because causing you to appear in Suburban Shootout from now till the end of recorded time.
No, the real curse is that I'm here with you.
Well, if you don't like it, you know what you can do.
Well, I will, thanks. I'll just go.
Yeah, are you okay to do next week's show, though?
Yeah, I've got it in my diary.
Twitterton, Twitterton, we love you, Twitterton. You're only on once a week. 6 weeks every 2 years.
The 17th September 1271 saw the birth of Wenceslas II, who was king of Bohemia for over 25 years and king of Poland for the last 5 years of his life. However, his life was somewhat overshadowed by his more famous forebear.
King Wenceslas II of Bohemia!
Hello, King Wenceslas II. Welcome to my court. I'm King Andrew III of Hungary.
Yep, I recognise you from the coins.
and this is my wife, Fenena of Kujavia.
I've been so looking forward to meeting you. Everyone's always going on about you, good King Wenceslas.
this happens quite a lot. I'm not good, King Wenceslas. You're confusing me with Wenceslas I. He's the one that the good King Wenceslas song is about. Not that he actually is a king, just a duke, ironically.
Sorry, I didn't realise.
Don't worry, you know, it happens all the time. I hope you didn't invite me expecting the other one.
No! Good. No, don't be ridiculous. I knew you weren't good, King Wenceslas.
Oh, it's not that I'm not good.
Right.
I am quite good. I've done loads of good stuff, really.
Oh, like what?
Well, when silver was discovered in central Bohemia in 1298, I took control of the mine and made silver production a royal monopoly.
That's not very good.
It was good for me.
Come on, what good things have you done?
Well, no, loads of things. I once gave one of my old worn-out cloaks to charity.
Well, so it hardly puts you up with good King Wenceslas, helping that poor man who was gathering winter few ooel.
Well, I'm not coming here claiming to be as good as good King Wenceslas. I'm just saying that just because I'm not called good King Wenceslas doesn't mean I haven't done some good things.
Well, have you ever looked out?
What?
Have you ever looked out?
Well, yeah, of course I've looked out.
On the Feast of Stephen?
I don't know. I don't keep a diary of all the times I've looked out. Probably.
No, then. He hasn't even looked out in the Feast of Stephen.
Just because I've got the same name as a notoriously good king doesn't mean I have to be constantly compared to him. I'm good, just not as good as good King Wenceslas, okay?
Is that what they call you, then? Good, just not as good as good King Wenceslas, King Wenceslas.
They call me King Wenceslas II of Bohemia and Poland.
So no descriptive epithet at all?
No.
He's rubbish, King Wenceslas.
Yeah, I know.
I can hear you when you whisper like that, you know.
Yeah, well, I'm glad. I invited you along thinking we were going to make good King Wenceslas from the song, and you're not even a slightly good King Wenceslas. You're crap King Wenceslas.
I made silver production in Bohemia a royal monopoly.
Yeah, and don't you keep going on about it. Is that all you did in your whole life?
It was hard. There was a lot of admin and stuff involved.
You know what you were doing. How many people are called Wenceslas?
Loads.
Who were also a king?
Well, at least two.
Yeah, you've called yourself that on purpose, knowing that people would think you were good King Wenceslas, and you'd get invited to loads of parties and stuff for free, and perhaps pull girls.
I didn't think. It's just my name. I can't help that.
No, don't give me that. If you were going to do that, you should be polite enough to at least come along and do some good things at the party, like a magician or a balloon animal person. That's what you should have done. And at the very least, you should sing the song.
Yeah, like a tribute act. You know, like the bootleg good King Wenceslas.
Yeah. But no. Instead, you come here showing off about your silver mine, eating all the canapes. Just get out.
Go on.
I tell you who you are. You're awful, greedy, and frankly, slightly smelly King Wenceslas.
Well, yeah. You're rude.
Go on. Out you go. Go on. Get off.
Oh, thank God he's gone, awful man.
That's all we got for you this week. I hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back next week for more history.
Rich, you can't stop there. There's still 2.5 minutes to fill.
Are you sure? The show seemed longer than that.
Well, they say time flies when you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Hey? Look, guys, we're going to have to do the Bergerac sketch.
Oh, what?
We haven't written it yet.
Yeah, it didn't seem to stop us with the Wenceslas as
well. All right, okay, all right, next to that. What are we going to do?
Well, I'll be Henry III.
Oh. Why are you always the main character?
Because it's my show, Danny. Maybe when you don't go on holiday the week before the recording, you can be the main character in the sketch.
Look, I don't care anyway. Henry III was probably gay.
Well, I'm comfortable enough with my sexuality to do that, to play two gay characters in one show. So, right, Dan, you and Danny are the Huguenots, right? And this sketch, I want you to wear these funny Cyrano de Bergerac noses.
Yeah.
So every time you say, "We're the Huguenots," the audience will crack up.
Right, how's that going to work on radio? Because they're not going to...
It will, that will work.
What am I?
You're nothing, Emma. There are no women in this sketch. Well...
Can't I be Henry III's wife?
Well, not really, because he's gay. So.
Well, yeah, but even so, he married Louise de Lorraine Vaudemont on February the 13th, 1575, though suspiciously they had no children.
I hate Wikipedia. If it'll shut you up, Emma, you can be a messenger, comes in halfway through or something, okay? So, guys, if you can kick in with the Bergerac music, that'll be kind of a good start. Come in.
Hello, Henry III of France. We are the Huguenots.
Ah, oui. How amusing. Amusing, as you also have quite huge noses.
Oh, well done. Yeah, you got it across. I liked it. Yeah, yeah.
Now, I like Bergerac while you like shoestring. C'est vrai?
You're meant to be French.
That is French. And anyway, his mother was Spanish, so.
No, his mother, Catherine de' Medici, was Italian.
I hate Wikipedia. Same
Same difference, though. It's the same.
So, yes, that is right. But we Huguenots...
Big noses, remember? That's big why nose. That's funny. Big nose.
Like shoestring.
Oh, that's interesting. Is that it?
No, still a minute and a bit.
You're kidding? Oh, why can't you see that the Jersey-based detective adventures are infinitely superior to the Bristol-based investigative journalist storylines?
Because they aren't. We've got huge noses!
That won't work. It's not going to work again. You can't do three. Oh, look, a messenger. Thank goodness.
Greetings, sire. I have a message of some input.
I would be interested to hear.
This is the message.
Still 45 seconds.
Read the credits.
That was then, this is now, as performed and made up as they went along by Richard Herring, Dan Tetzel, me, Emma Kennedy, and Danny Robbins, who is last because he went on holiday the week before this show was recorded. Music was provided by Christian Riley and Bismarck, who were Damien Caldwell, Martin Kane, and Charlie Brown Turner. It was produced by Evil Queen Liz Anstey, the Third of Bohemia, and was a Cellador production for BBC Radio 2, and also Shoestring is Best.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, good. That applause has added valuable seconds onto the show. Okay, let's end this dispute, my huge nerds friends.
Yes.
Yeah, that's got to be 27 minutes.
Come on, yeah.
Not quite. 27 minutes is coming up right now.